hostessbrands.com or call 620-340-9235. Pay ranges from $19.06 to $43 an hour. Hostess Brands LLC is an equal opportunity employer.
KBOE Live and Local, it is 821, 43 degrees.
KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local. This is Newsmaker 2.
And our Newsmaker 2 brought to you this morning by Longvine Auto Plaza on West Highway 50. Longvine Auto Plaza, driven by LongvineAuto.com.
Longvine Auto Plaza is looking for two highly motivated salespeople. If you're energetic, enjoy talking to people, and like an ever-changing environment, Longvine Auto Plaza wants to talk to you. We offer a guaranteed salary, health insurance, vacation time, and 401k retirement. Longvine Auto Plaza needs to add to the team. Apply in person at 3012 West Highway 50 or submit a resume to svaughn@longvineauto.com. Longvine Auto Plaza is an equal opportunity employer.
KVOE News Time is now 8:22, which makes it Newsmaker 2 time here on this Monday morning. We're pleased to have with us on the KVOE Sutherland studio line Emporia City Manager Trey Cocking today.
Trey, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Trey.
Good morning. How's everybody this morning on this beautiful Monday morning?
All right. How about yourself?
I'm good.
Good. Well, thanks for joining us here today. We've got a number of things to talk about, but I really wanted to, I guess, start our interview process here by mentioning the fact that you've been basically on the job for about 3 months, and you've been on the job for a very busy 3 months. How have things gone for you personally and really for the office and the city?
I think it's been a great 3 months getting to know everybody here in the city and in the community. I feel like I'm kind of in that meeting-to-meeting mode, just meeting as many people as possible right now. But I'm definitely looking forward to spring and being able to be out, being able to walk downtown and all over here in Emporia.
Yeah, it's a very active community, as you can probably tell, Trey, already. I saw you out at the Emporia Friends of the Zoo auction. What was your take on that massive turnout, huh?
Man, I was impressed. I think that's a people just wanted to get out and see each other again after a long 2 years. But it was a great event. I walked away super impressed with everything. I'm already super impressed with what they do at the zoo, but just super impressed with the community's response to the zoo and folks stepping up to help the zoo be better.
I've got to ask what your kids think about the zoo.
They love it. so I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, so we are either here or in the Topeka Zoo constantly. But my kids love it, and the prairie dogs, they were amazed with the prairie dogs. We were down, I think, 2 weeks ago at the zoo, and they were just amazed with the prairie dogs. And even the raccoon was of interest as we sat there and watched him for a while. So it's a neat zoo. They have done so much with it. Lisa is a blessing for this community and the entire staff over there, just the effort they put into it. And then with the new Oasis Project, just folks should be proud of what's happened in Emporia. And especially with that facility being an accredited facility, and they just do a tremendous job.
Yeah, indeed. The Oasis campaign will continue, so more improvements coming to the David Traylor Zoo. And, Trey, you got to see firsthand on how all of our auctions basically around town go. We all leave shaking our heads saying, you know, I don't know how we do it, but they're all successful around here, so we live in a very, very giving community. Let's get on to our first topic here this morning. Well, Trey, you haven't been on the job that long, and now you are in search of a new city commissioner. So what is the city commission position-filling protocol?
Yeah, first of all, I guess I kind of have to pause and just, you know, I've known Rob. I knew him when he was a lobbyist for the school board. In my mind, he is Mr. Emporia. So it is a big loss for Emporia. I'm excited for, I think Jamie Souter said it best, I'm excited for Rob as a friend and success in his new position, but it's a big loss for Emporia. Rob has been instrumental in so many things that's happened over the course of his time on the commission, even before his time on commission, going back to student body president of Emporia State. So just a loss for the community. I wish Rob the absolute best. I know he'll be successful in Cape Girardeau, but it does leave us a vacancy on the commission to deal with for the for his fellow commissioners to deal with. So once that vacancy is officially announced, the city will take applications for, I believe the charter ordinance specifies 15 days. And then at that next commission meeting after those applications are accepted, the remaining commissioners will vote. It takes a majority of the commissioners to select the new commissioner. So if they end up tied, deadlocked 2-2, then they can vote up to three times at a meeting. Then the ordinance specifies that they will come back at the next meeting and vote again. So after some additional discernment. So no idea. I would consider folks who are eager to serve their city to reach out to myself or any of the remaining members of the commission, ask questions, and it's basically you're on a board of kind of a two-faceted board. Definitely the board that creates laws and makes policy for the greater Emporia community, but it's also a board of directors for a $50 million corporation with 250 full-time employees. So that job definitely has its two facets to it. But if folks are curious about that, definitely feel free to reach out to me or feel free to reach out to any of the four remaining commissioners or reach out to Rob while he's still here in town.
Now, Trey, once the position is it filled for the remainder of Rob's term?
Correct. So okay. Rob has just a little under 2 years remaining on his term. So that term expires January of 2020. That's January of, what year is it now? 22, so it would retire January 24. And then the election for it would be November 23.
Okay. One more question here, Trey, on the process is, do you anticipate that a vacancy being officially announced here this week, or do you think that may come up a little bit later this month?
Let's see. I guess we have a regular meeting tomorrow, a regular meeting on Wednesday, so I would assume that it gets announced on Wednesday.
Okay. Shifting gears here, one of the things from last week was the major economic grant program. I think it was either last week or the week before. Explain this here, kind of what this is all about, where the funding is coming from, and really what you have in mind here with how this money is being utilized.
Sure. So last December, when Congress passed the American Rescue Plan Act, it had funding set aside for local governments. It works out to about $151 per capita for every city across the state of Kansas. So the city of Emporia's share of that is about $3.7 million, and we've received half of those dollars already. Those dollars are to aid in the impacts from COVID-19 or to aid in the recovery from COVID-19 with some of the rules that came out in December, I believe. We have quite a bit of discretion with it based on how they've defined revenue loss. But earlier this year, late last year, we received a request from Emporia State to help out with additional scholarships so they can recruit students so that they can bring them to campus, and they think that will help them aid in their recovery. Flint Hills Technical College also presented us with a request to add a new e-gaming program that they think would help add in the recovery. At the same time, I've been contacted by several of the child care providers in Emporia who are struggling to find staff and are looking for funding assistance. So kind of after all these needs being out there and at least being brought to our attention, we wanted to make sure we weren't missing anything and we gave the community a chance to apply. So we have targeted about $750,000 of that $3.7 million for this major grant initiative. So that application is on the front page of our website. Organizations can go in, they can apply. There is a $50,000 minimum, a $400,000 maximum on the funds that can be applied for. And, you know, the application, I won't say it's a detailed application, but the application does want to know what you're going to use the funds for, how it will improve the Emporia community, what type of measurable results will we see if the funding goes to your organization. So those applications are due talked about several different dates.
I know.
But those applications are due. Once they're due, we will have a committee. Five people review those grants and make a recommendation to the commission, and then the commission will either approve those or send them back to the committee. Those grant applications are due on April 1st, at noon, Friday, April 1st at noon. And then hoping if everything went really well, we'd love to have that in front of the commission on April 6th. That's a really aggressive time span. So we will see. We'll see if our committee is able to get together after those grants are received. But we want to have that committee get together, and then they will make that recommendation to the commission.
You mentioned the economic grants and some of the requests you've already received, specifically Emporia State and FHTC. Do they fit within that criteria window then, Trey? And is there guidelines that organizations need to follow? Do you have that on the website?
We do. You know, it is a pretty broad-based, you know, we're kind of saying, hey, community, we want to hear from you. So we're, you know, the questions that we're asking here is please explain the proposed use for grant funds. Please explain the expected economic benefits to the greater Emporia community. List any amount of sources, matching funds. What type of matching funds are you going to use? How are you going to keep the program sustainable? Obviously, one-time funding is that one-time funding, so we want to know how you're going to keep the programming sustainable after you get that funding. And then if the grant is approved, what type of metrics can be used to show the grant is successful? And then we also ask for what other funding have you received from the federal state tied to COVID relief in the last year you're going to receive, and then other requests for funding that you're going to make of the city over the next 5 years. So, you know, it's really important for these grants to have an economic impact, to grow the community, and then at the same time for it to be sustainable, or for at least there to be planning past when this infusion of money is gone.
Trey, speaking of the money side of things, though, the way it sounded looking at the agenda packet here when this was brought up, there's a lot of city projects here that are on the table as well. What is the city maybe looking at as far as building renovation processes or projects that maybe could benefit?
Correct. You know, we're still kind of going through and sorting through the internal ask. We had $20.3 million in requests from city groups, our internal groups. Some of those are major capital improvement projects, dealing with stormwater, things like that. We also have some ADA issues that we need to address within this building. You know, this is a great building here. It was built in 1941, long before the Americans with Disability Act was signed into law. So there's some things we need to do to make this building more friendly to folks who are utilizing the building. So that was part of the component. You know, some things for the fire department to assist with their systems and how, you know, their world has kind of shifted with COVID. The police department has asked for some training resources. So just a broad scope of things that we're looking at. And that's, you know, kind of why we're trying to split at least a portion out of it to these community grants. But then knowing at the same time that we do have a lot of internal things, and some internal things that are pretty important to this organization to either bring it compliant with federal law or to make our employees more efficient in their jobs.
And talking with Emporia City Manager Trey Cocking on our Newsmaker 2 segment, KVOE Live and Local. It is 8:34 sunshine and now 43 degrees. Well, Trey, where are we on the strategic planning front?
Hey, Commissioner spent about 3.5 hours working on that on Wednesday, talking about everything from economic development to structure of the organization to recruitment and retention of employees. Those seem to be the kind of some of the major talking points, as well as diversity. You know, Emporia is a diverse community. How do we get out there? How do we create pipelines so folks know that they're included in this community, and that their city government's working for them. So a broad range of things. We're still very much in the preliminary phase with that strategic planning. We're going to come back that last March 30th, and meet again and do more work towards finalization of those goals. So right now with this strategic planning process, we are kind of looking at a 1 to 3 year horizon. This is not long-term strategic planning, but kind of short-term, you know, kind of around the fact that I'm just coming in. What are those things that can be accomplished in the short term, and then turn our vision to a more longer-term plan?
What are your, I guess, maybe the general focal points that you see at this point in time with strategic planning, given the fact that this is really a kind of a half the traditional time period here for a strategic planning venture?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty quick looking at it. You know, I think for us, the number one thing the thing that keeps me up right now is recruitment and retention of city employees. We're probably 25 employees down. So how do we address that? How do we address some of these major capital improvement needs that we have as a city? How do we fund those? How do we create priorities for that? One of the big red glaring marks for me is, you know, I toured, even before I started, I toured Station 1, the fire department that's here at City Hall. And my breath was kind of taken away from the, I won't say poor condition, but just it's a old fire station, and the world has shifted tremendously since 1941 as far as fire apparatus, how fire departments operate, and that station is undersized, does not meet the need of modern firefighting. You know, so we're going to have to plan for that at the capital improvement level, how we deal with that. Obviously, how we deal with our water infrastructure, sewer infrastructure, to ensure that we don't have any of those massive water line breaks like we had 4 years ago. Capital improvement planning. And then I think another place we spent some time is making sure we have our economic development, different pieces of economic development are working smoothly together. And how do we, what's our role in coordinating that? Between RDA, the Commission of Visitors Bureau, and Main Street, how do we make sure we're working in one direction with all those various great not-for-profits that we have in town that are working to ensure Emporia is a better place?
Now, you mentioned Fire Station 1. Fire Station 2 also obviously in need of some repair out there, too, as well. You're obviously aware of that, Trey. Where are we at the fire department front? Of course, Jack Taylor,
retiring.
Longtime fire department head man, retires. Where are we in the search process there?
So, you know, we are not active in the search process right now. Interim Chief Brandon Beck is kind of helming things right now for the department. Things are going very well there. So, you know, for me right now, I'm kind of dealing with the communications manager slot, and then Chief Beck and I will probably sit down later this month and see where we're at. I'm going to go out and visit with the department too at the same time. I'm going to touch base with every shift and meet with them and just kind of see what the needs of the department are beyond those capital improvement needs, but making sure we're doing the right things to have the right management structure in place for the fire department.
Well, you mentioned recruitment and retention of city employees. Well, you're in quite a battle, Trey, as you well know, with other businesses and manufacturing here in Emporia, because that is a key point with a lot of folks are looking for staff and looking for people to work all over town here. So it's not just a problem with the city, is it?
No, unfortunately. I mean, I fortunately and unfortunately at the same time, it's a United States-wide issue right now. There's definitely more positions than there are workers right now, folks wanting to work. You know, as I drive around Emporia, I see all these signs advertising these great pay rates, and then I look at our pay rates for what we're paying police officers, firefighters, refuse collectors. I don't know how we make up that ground quickly. You know, the great thing about our organization is a lot of our employees love what they do. They love serving the public. You choose a profession as a police officer or a firefighter because that's your passion. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to work for a discount forever, but they're passionate about what they do. So we have to make sure they're compensated right, and we are very thankful about the folks that we have who are passionate and want to serve the public, but it's a hard balance for us right now.
Trey, before we let you go, let's shift gears to something that came up at the Regional Development Association's meeting here Friday, and it was basically being called Project Ruby, and there's not a whole lot being released on this now. But in chatting with the RDA board chair, Jamie Souter, Friday, it sounds like this is involving a potential new business or a business coming to Emporia, and it also involves housing as a key component of that. What can you say about the project overall, and I guess maybe, you know, among the other fights that Emporia has in recruiting and retaining businesses and staff, now the housing side of things, which sounds like it's short basically nationwide?
You know, Project Ruby would be a great project if Emporia can land that. You know, I'm not in a place I can share particulars on that project right now, other than it would be a great company for Emporia. And, you know, it would be a big win. Their biggest hang-up with Emporia right now is the fact that there's no employees. And even if they could recruit employees to Emporia, there's not the housing there for them. Just no housing opportunities. I think, you know, you guys have heard this over and over again. You know, there's 15 houses on the MLS right now in Emporia. So, and, you know, and some of them have been on the MLS for a number of days, which tells you, you know, this is not a house that somebody wants to jump in right away. So, you know, we need to deal with that here in Emporia. How do we have housing? How when people look at the community, one of the first things they do is get on Zillow or Realtor.com and go, I want to see what the housing stock looks like. And when they get there and there is no housing stock, okay. You know, and one of the other challenges with Emporia is we're basically on an island, and it's not super easy for somebody to drive from Ottawa, Topeka, any of those cities to commute in. Some folks do it, but, you know, we really need to be in a place that we do have housing available for folks when they want to move to Emporia.
Yeah, and that goes on a lot of fronts. I mean, you really hate to have people, you know, living out of town. Obviously, you look at the tax base, and I know of a number of high-paying, you know, employees or managers who are living out of town, and that's, of course, if they're living out of town, that's not part of our tax process here, so that doesn't work. So hopefully we'll be seeing some light at the end of the housing and job market tunnel here in the near future. Well, Trey, hey, we appreciate your time. Great information here this morning, and thanks for joining us.
I appreciate you guys having me on this morning, and if anybody has questions, please do reach out.
Appreciate it, Trey.
Thanks, Trey.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, Trey Conking, Emporia City Manager, joining us on our Newsmaker 2 segment here this morning. Chuck?
All right, and tomorrow's Newsmaker 2 will be at 8:20, and we'll have a local veteran, Ron Whitney. We had him on here earlier this month when we were talking about the Project Atlas Venture, basically